Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 238, recorded on January 10th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. And how are you?
I'm good. I'm well.
Excellent. That's as it should be.
Yeah, because Superman does good, and I'm doing well, or something.
Yes, that's it exactly. And we tug on neither one of your capes.
Thank you. And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Joey.
Let's not taunt me with things that I only sort of know about.
Friends is now, well, you can know it completely because it's now every season's on Netflix, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I saw it on...
Doesn't do anything for me, but some people are into that.
I did enjoy some Friends when I caught a few episodes here and there when it was still on, but I don't know.
I think I saw one full episode. And I think Robin Williams was on it.
That's really strange. But cool.
Yeah.
I'm speaking into a Santa hat right now.
I thought you swapped
and
it
out. Is that code?
No, I needed to readjust because the glasses case wasn't really taking care of my popping of peas.
On this week in ghetto pop filters.
Yeah. It's fun because remote setup. Good times.
Remote, yeah.
The first thing on our list of things to talk about that is the worst, well, you be the judge. AT&T has announced, as a follow-up to T-Mobile's data stash feature.
Data rollover thing?
Yeah, the rollover thing. So now AT&T has, MacRumors calls it a limited data rollover feature. And it is BS.
Yay, AT&T.
Yeah. So it's
like a 1 month rollover, right?
It is a single month rollover. So any data that you have left over from the previous month, it comes to the current month. However, when you continue using data in the current month, you use the allotment that was earmarked for that month, not the rollover data first, which allows them very conveniently to say, and then any data that you haven't used that rolled over goes away the next month. So it's just a one-month...
It's not much of a rollover.
No, it's a one-month buffer kind of thing. Not much of a rollover indeed.
That's kind of lame.
Yeah. I was really stoked when I first saw it. When I first saw the announcement, I was excited, and then I actually read what was going on and realized that... the actuality of the situation. So I wonder if, do you guys think that they're going to maybe in a couple months tweak it so it's a real rollover, or it's just going
to
stay?
Not if they don't have to.
Well, yeah, I guess the real question is if people will complain enough to make that happen.
You know, I'm betting the answer is no.
Yeah.
People won't complain enough because I think most people have no idea and they won't even realize anything's different.
Yeah. But I guess the good news is you are automatically enrolled in their data rollover thing if you have a mobile share value plan.
Mobile share value.
I think you have that. If you're sharing data between devices, then you have it.
I have it now. Yeah, I did not have it, and then I switched over.
Yeah.
But now we don't go over our data anyway. I'm going to have rollover every month and still not use it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I'll end up doing the same. because I have 6 gigs per month because it was upped.
I think we talked about this too, though. I mean, that's why T-Mobile is willing to do it, because it's like I said last time, I think AT&T has always maintained like 80% of the customers that have a data plan don't go over their data plan.
Yeah.
So it's only, you know, a limited, or it might even be higher than that. I don't know what their actual number is, but you know, it's like 80, 90% of people don't go over. So it's only the small percentage of people who are like data hogs. They call them data hogs, but you know, those of us who use our data because we have it and we want to use it, then we're the ones that need this sort of stuff. But
yeah,
the general public, you know, so it's a great marketing thing for them to do without having to actually kick in anything real in terms of benefit to their customers.
Right.
Again, lame.
Well, T-Mobile still is doing a lot more good than the other carriers are. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw the ad the other day, too. And, it, you know, if their network didn't suck, it would be awesome. But, you know, Sprint's still doing that. We'll cut your bill in half promo.
Well, Sprint is a different story altogether. I think T-Mobile is leaps and bounds ahead of Sprint.
No, yeah. And I didn't mean to imply that the two should be compared, because there's no comparison. But
because Sprint is so terrible.
It is. They're all terrible, though. That's the point. Even T-Mobile, come on.
Well, service-wise, though? Yeah, I mean, T-Mobile...
Depends on your region.
It depends.
I mean, here, I wouldn't want to have T-Mobile here in San Diego.
Yeah. So...
You know, from talking to people, I don't know, maybe it's gotten better. I don't keep tabs on it every 6 months.
You should try the test flight thing they have.
Are they still doing that?
Yeah. I think that's something they'll keep.
But I mean, when I look at their plans, they don't really necessarily save me any money. And again, a lot of the extras are really token, because they're things that I'm not going to go over that data limit that I have. That's, you know, 15 gigs shared, whatever we have now.
Sure.
So, and at the end of the day, the cost usually ends up being the same. Every time I try and price competitors, it's like, I got to go through the whole hassle of switching, and I'm going to save $5 a month, maybe.
Right. If you do it correctly.
Yeah. And then I'm going to get screwed in some other way that I'm not going to notice till it's too late.
Good times. Foxconn, they have some internal sketches that are said to be of the iPad Pro. Recently released by nowhereelse.fr. Is that how you spell it? Nowhereelse.fr? Something French.com. And it appears that it has 4 speakers and it is 12.2 inches LCD size.
We've heard that 4 speaker thing for a while, so I'm starting to believe that rumor.
Yeah,
that's been touted by many sources. But then you have to wonder too, if this is a fake, did they put 4 speakers in it because of the other?
Sure, yeah.
That's what they would want to see if it was a real product.
Yeah, same old story. It's been going on like this for a while.
Is this the one that Gurman leaked? Reported on, didn't he have
the mold,
or was that the air, or the
he
air
talked about the air.
Sorry,
it had just the one port and no MagSafe connector.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, right.
And I called fake.
The air rumors and the 12-inch iPad Pro rumors.
Oh, the MacBook Air, right? Yeah,
mixing together in my head now.
Yeah, they do. Well,
I still think they're the same product, so that's probably half my problem.
Yeah, well, as far as the iPad Air or the, I'm doing it too now, the MacBook Air, the speaker design, granted it's a mock-up done by just some dude, but the speaker design did not look good with 4 speakers along the top edge. It was kind of weird looking.
Wait, not one in each corner. Which would make more sense, because then no matter what orientation you have stereo speakers.
No, the MacBook Air.
He's talking about the MacBook.
See, we're all I'm mixing it. Them all up.
Yeah. We're all doing it.
We're all going to do it now. But even, I mean, that doesn't even matter. That whole, okay, let's talk stereo separation here on speakers that are how
that
far
are
apart?
5 inches apart or something. Yeah.
Several millimeters apart.
You're not going to get any kind of real stereo separation anyway.
No, you're not.
That was one of the things that always made me laugh about, like, people who would, those specs that would tout, like, oh, my cell phone has stereo speakers. And they're 2 inches apart.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And then there's also the manufacturing mold for the iPad Pro, which was posted by a user on China Weibo.
Weibo.
China's Weibo microblogging site.
And it doesn't fall down.
Oh, I found that to be really funny.
Yep.
You did. But yeah, so this mold, I don't follow. Whatever.
Weibo's wobble.
Weibo's so wobbles, but they don't fall down.
Oh. Okay. I don't know that. But anyway, the mold.
You never had Weebles?
No.
You should really get off
your
my
whole
lawn,
generation.
Michael.
Yeah, I know. I should get off your lawn for sure. Oh, okay. Anyway.
What'd you play with? Sticks and rocks?
No, that's what you guys played with. That's what you old farts played with. Sticks and rocks. Give me a break. We had the internet. We had AOL dial-up.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, and hamsterdance.com.
That was an awesome site.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I forgot about Hamster.
I think that was maybe one of the very first websites that I ever was shown.
That was back in the beginning of the whole meme thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I never got on with the dancing baby, though.
The dancing baby thing was weird, but that started with Ally McBeal.
Oh,
and then it
kind of
grew out from there, and it was like, okay, that's weird.
I was on board with Hamster Dance, and I guess there's new Homestar Runner coming out, maybe. Or there was a couple months ago. Let's get on back on track, shall we? Yeah, so there's this dummy, or no, it's a mold for, it seems like, the iPad Pro rear shell, and I don't know. It doesn't really come with more detail than that. It just seems like it's either directly for the iPad Pro or it's for dummy units for manufacturers making accessories. Either way, it may or may not provide more support to the iPad Air Pro. But I think we're all in agreement that if there is an iPad Pro, we got to see some extra features in iOS 8. To have it take advantage of the larger screen size. Otherwise, it's just a bigger iPad.
Yeah, which for some people would be fine, but for most people, what's the point?
Yeah, I don't think it adds much value there. Because the iPad, I think, is kind of big enough to get done what the iPad can currently do. It's big enough. Are you sending us Hamster Dance now? In the
Thank
chat.
God for the Internet Archive, the Wayback Machine.
Is that what that is? Oh, yeah, hamsterdance.com. Oh, yeah. Those hamsters are dancing.
that goes in the show notes.
It's going in the show notes. And iPhone. So did we talk about last week that there were rumors of a new 4-inch iPhone coming out this year? Apple working on a new 4-inch iPhone?
Yes, there have been those rumors.
Okay. So I guess they're not true. According to Feng.com via...
To who?
Mac Rumors.
Oh, okay.
So vetted by Mac Rumors, I guess.
Is it really vetted or...
I don't know if it's vetted.
It's re-reported on
by Mac Rumors.
There you go.
They believe that it's...
Re-rumored.
A credible claim.
That it's not going to happen.
Yeah, so based on Feng.com... that I've never heard of, but they say FENG.com.
Bing.
Apple has not placed any orders with the supply chain related to a 4-inch iPhone for this year. So they don't believe that they're gearing up for any sort of iPhone, new 4-inch iPhone this year. And of course, if that doesn't happen this year, if there is no new 4-inch iPhone, there's still probably going to be the iPhone 5S sticking around for another year.
Right.
And which, I don't know. I don't know how important it is to people these days if there's going to be, if they're going to keep that 4-inch form factor. Because I know people who had iPhone 4s and said, oh, I don't want an iPhone 5 because it's too big.
Yeah.
And they recently switched over. Oh, I have an iPhone 6 now. It's great. I thought it was going to be too big. Oh, no, it's fine. So.
Yeah, how about that?
What the heck? Who knows anymore? Maybe Apple knows. And we should stop complaining.
Okay. So, I mean, the idea here is that it would be sort of the update to the 5C, 5S, right?
Right. Yeah, it would be in that category.
Be like an updated version of that.
Yeah.
So, I don't. When this rumor came out, it seemed plausible to me for that exact reason that you're mentioning. And I've heard the same thing from people. I think there is still a market for a 4-inch device, and why not just do a rev update? My concern was that a lot of the rumors were also saying it was going to be that low-priced model. So I would worry that Apple, if they did put out something like that, they'd have it be the entry-level, you know, freebie or $99 phone, and then accomplish that by doing the stupid thing where they put, you know, 16 gigs of RAM in it.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, not RAM, of storage.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said that wrong. But, and then it's lame anyway. Then nobody wants it, not because it's a 4-inch phone, but because it doesn't have enough storage.
Right. If you could get a 128 gig iPhone 5 sized phone.
Yeah. They need to make it a legitimate model in the lineup.
Yes.
But I think they could get away with having three sized devices.
Yeah, and it's not like it's going to cannibalize anything. And even if it does cannibalize a little bit, who cares? They're still probably going to make more money on those smaller ones than they would on the big ones.
Right. Yeah, I mean, profit margin wise. But yeah, the only way it would cannibalize is if they made it so much cheaper, you know, like free. If that turns out to be the free phone, then it always is going to cannibalize a little bit because there's certain people that just don't want to pay for a cell phone, but they want an iPhone. So yeah. They're going to take whatever their carrier will give them for free.
But Apple's, again, still going to be making money. If they can make it...
Oh, yeah.
If they can put it in that free category, in that price range of free, I mean, they're still going to be making money off of it, even...
I think they should drop the small size across the line and have three sizes. So three phone sizes, two storage sizes at each level, and two price points at each level. That's it.
That'll still be pretty complicated when you go into stores, but at least it wouldn't. Yeah, it wouldn't be that bad.
It's right. Depending on how they present the choice factor.
Yeah, and maybe on the smaller ones you do 32, 64, and then maybe it's just the five, the plus model is 64, 128, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, what color do you want?
There's a way to simplify the lineup and still have enough choice in terms of format, in terms of phone size. I don't know.
I'd like it. I don't know if I'd switch back though.
No, I think the iPhone 6 size is going to continue to be the sweet spot for most people. But again, I think there's fringes on both sides. I think there's those people who just want something smaller, you know, and I could see it being a 20-60-20 split. So 20% of people are going to buy the 4-inch phone, 60% are going to be right there in the middle, and 20% are going to be the, you know, the 5.5 or larger, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah. Did you guys see that Apple is now selling unlocked SIM-free iPhone 6 and 6 Plus on their website now, which...
That tells me that they have their inventory, excuse me, under control.
Yep.
Well, the funny thing about it is, though, you could have bought the exact same phone before just say, I want the T-Mobile one.
Correct.
Right.
And it would have come with a T-Mobile SIM card that you could discard. So.
Was the T-Mobile one not carrier locked, though?
No.
It was fully unlocked.
Fully unlocked, yeah.
Okay.
Right, Jeff?
I believe it was unlocked. But being able to buy the phone just unlocked, that's for a lot of people, that's going to be a big thing.
So that's okay. Without having to sign up for a carrier plan. So the only difference was if you did the T-Mobile thing, you would have had to sign up for a T-Mobile plan and then cancel it.
Maybe. Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So now I can just walk in and get a phone without a SIM, without being tied to any kind of carrier plan.
Yeah. Pay $750.
That's the difference.
Get your iPhone 6.
Yeah. Because I think with the T-Mobile, you still would have to sign a contract with T-Mobile. And then even though T-Mobile just does month to month, right? They don't do contracts. But you get the point. It's, you still got to deal with T-Mobile
for one part of
that transaction.
I think so.
So how much are they unlocked?
I'm just looking at a screenshot, but it looks like $750 for...
$649 for the 6, right?
Are you looking at it now?
I'm looking at it now.
Okay.
Yeah. You gotta click all the boxes, though.
Yeah.
Okay. $649 for 16, $749,
$849. Gotcha.
It's actually not... It's not bad.
Yeah, they're neat little pocket computers.
So that's the 6, and then the 6 Plus obviously is...
$100 more, I think.
Yeah. Yep, $749, $849, $949.
Yep. Yep, yep. Makes sense. Okay, so we're going to talk about stuff that happened at CES, because Jeff, are you still there, or are you back home now?
I'm back home now.
Okay, so I'm sure there's something you want to mention, at least one thing. There are a couple things we can talk about and some Apple Watch stuff. Before we do that, however, we're going to talk about this week's sponsor, which is Smile at Smile on My Mac or smilesoftware.com, right? Because it's not Smile on My Mac anymore.
And I think correct.
Everybody continues right. doing that. Changed
that. Where have you ago. Been?
I know. Shut up.
Should we get off your lawn, Michael?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Pepperidge Farm knows when it used to be Smile on My Mac. So we're talking about PDF Pen for iOS version 2. And if you ever deal with PDFs, which most people do, more than just like, hey, I want to look at this thing, and you use an iPad or an iPhone and you want to do like stuff on the go, you got to get PDF Pen for iOS, because this takes care of all of the non-just viewing the PDF stuff. So you can, of course, add text, add images, signatures, annotations, drawing on the thing. You can actually correct text in a PDF, which is extremely handy. So if there's a typo or you want to change a date, maybe you're working on a contract and you want to tweak it because it's kind of gone on longer than you wanted it to, you just tweak it. Do your thing and go. You can even fill in PDF forms, which is one of the most useful things that you can do with this application. So if you're, you know, cruising around on your iPad on the couch and you don't want to go over to the computer and fill in that form, you can just do the thing, write in PDF Pen, send it off, and you're good. New in version 2, there's a new editing bar, which provides much easier access to all the popular tools and properties. There's a really neat palm and wrist protection feature that I haven't really seen palm rejection done in this way in other apps, but it's really neat. So you just hit the little palm rejection button, and then it shows you a region where you'll be able to do your like signatures and stuff like that. And then you can just drag these bars that kind of block out the other areas up and down, and it very easily and intuitively lets you do your thing without messing up areas that you don't want to touch. There's also password encryption. So you can, there are multiple levels of encryption you can apply to your PDF documents right within the app, which is very nice. And you can number pages automatically, including Bates numbering, which I'm not familiar with, but I'm sure it's important, right?
And if they included it, you know it is.
Yeah, yeah. And I think most importantly, in version 2, they have support for iCloud Drive and AirDrop, which means that you can basically throw those PDF documents around through any of the apps in iOS 8 that let you access the new file management thing. So, like, if you have a PDF saved in preview on your Mac into iCloud, you just say, I want to open up a PDF, click on preview, and ta-da, it's right there. Super handy. And the last thing on the list is you can view and navigate annotations in the sidebar, which, obviously, very handy. So, PDF Pen for iOS version 2. It's awesome in iOS 8, and I believe it is $19.99. I'm looking here. Jeff, can you back me up on that?
That sounds about right.
Okay, hang on.
It's been a while since I've had to pay for it.
Yep, 19. So. Yeah. You get it complimentary, but $19.99 in the iOS store, and check it out. It's great.
So worth it.
It's totally worth it because you can do all the things that you, if you need to do anything with PDFs, boom, right there.
Yeah, so, like do a refi on your mortgage.
Right there on your iPad or your phone.
Seriously,
if you want.
No, I mean, I just went through it and I use PDF Pen all the time to like sign stuff and send it back. I mean, because you've got to get moving on things. And if I'm out and about, it's super handy. I use PDF Pen all the time on my iOS devices. So
cool.
It's like a must have.
Yeah, get on it. Are they, it's, so that is end of sponsorship other than, you know, tweet at them and let them know that you appreciate their sponsorship of the show. And we appreciate their sponsorship of the iOS show. But so outside of sponsorship talk, are they one of the companies that have been experimenting with doing upgrade pricing through the Complete My Bundle stuff?
Yes, they are.
Yep. Okay, so can you do, like if you had the old PDF Pen, can you do an upgrade price thing with that Complete My Package thing? Or whatever it's called?
You might be able to. I'm not exactly sure how different apps into the upgrade price Complete My App thing. But it wouldn't surprise me if you could. Yeah, and then you'd have a discount.
Wait. Are we still? I don't know if I'm still recording. If I got all that, but I don't know. Hopefully, we got everything. But my GarageBand.
I'm still recording.
Okay, we got the backup. So, yeah, I haven't done any of those Complete My Bundles at all, let alone the ones that let you update.
But, I did that with. I think I did that with a Panic Bundle.
Okay.
Oh, or that's something different. I just bought a bundle from Panic, I guess. I didn't. This is the Complete My Bundle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the app. But you've heard about the developers that have found a way to make upgrade pricing work out. Because so when they have the bundles, obviously they can bundle like three apps or whatever. And if you have one of those apps in the bundle, then it's a reduced price. And I believe they can set what the reduced price is for the bundle based on what you already own. And I think that's how they're doing a semi-upgrade pricing feature.
Right.
Right. So,
it's a neat thing. So far, it doesn't seem like Apple has stopped it, but it's certainly something I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
I don't think they'd be able to stop it, would they really? Without messing up their bundle stuff?
Well, they could tell people to not do it. They could tell the developers to not do it or go away. There's always that option.
That would be a lame thing to do.
It would be super lame.
I don't think Apple has ever actively like tried to not have upgrade pricing on the App Store. I think they just never engineered for, you know, never designed for it from the get-go.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Like, I don't think it's something they're trying to actively discourage or stop. Is it?
I don't think so. But it's something that I don't think they ever felt was necessary. So they just didn't mess with it.
Well, it's not right. necessary for apps that are only a buck. And that's what they want. They want all apps to be a dollar, right?
The only thing or I don't free. Like about it is the issue that it causes. I don't mind repaying for an app necessarily, like you're saying, especially if it's, you know, $5, $10,
whatever it might be. Well, if it's a $40 app, like from Omni, you know, those apps
aren't
cheap.
Right, that's a little bit different. But here's my bigger problem with not having an upgrade option is half the time I don't realize I'm on an old version.
Yeah. Like
I've literally right. had an instance happen where I've been using an app for 6 months and there was a new version out and I somehow missed it. And it's like, well, crud. Wish I would have known about the new version 6 months ago.
It's tough. They got
you know, and I
out.
Guess you can throw that back and say, well, the developer didn't do a very good job, obviously, letting existing customers know.
I don't think it's their responsibility to figure out that. Necessarily, in some ways, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a marketing. It is a marketing problem for them because I would have bought it 6 months earlier, and they would have had my money.
Sure,
you know, but I don't know. It's just frustrating because they have to put out a whole new version on the App Store. So then suddenly you have, you know, even, and then the flip scenario of that is you go on the App Store and you're looking for something and you see two versions, right? Because the developer didn't pull the old version down. For whatever reason, you know, sometimes there is a reason to have the old version around. Maybe it's the one that still runs on, you know, version one devices,
right.
which is something right. else I think Apple also discourages, but I don't know that they control real tightly. Right. Is that I've heard of instances, I think I read about this somewhere where they had emailed developers and said, you know, asked them to pull down an old version that supported older devices, things like that.
Weird.
Again, I don't think they forcibly remove it, but it's again something they discourage because I think they want people to keep upgrading hardware, obviously.
Right, of course they do.
Yeah.
So CES came and went, and it looked lame to me.
It did?
It did look lame. Didn't look like there was a lot of interesting stuff.
There was some interesting stuff. There were a lot of interesting trends a few interesting trends that I saw.
Yeah.
Internet of Things, right?
Yeah, that kind of started to be a thing this year. I think next year is going to be the Internet of Things CES.
Okay. But
did you see the Internet of Beer?
Well, I drank a lot of the Internet of Bourbon.
No, somebody has an internet-connected homebrew machine.
Oh,
so you like yeah. load it up with whatever grains that you want, and then you download from the internet, from their website, the recipe to the little beer box, and then it handles all of the brewing for you.
And there's like a little mechanical Turk in there that is just a guy
yes.
that mixes just everything.
It's like the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Well, you still have to load it with the ingredients, I guess. So you have to go to your local homebrew shop and get the right ingredients. But you download the recipe. It'll tell you what ingredients to load in the machine. You load it in the machine, and then you press the button. And then you don't have to do all of the, you know, it'll do the mash for the right amount of time and at the right temperatures. And it, like, monitors all that stuff and basically brews your batch of homebrew beer for you.
Huh.
And then just, I would assume, dings or sends you a push notification. Hey, your beer's done. It's all fermented and ready to drink.
I would like
to
ding.
I don't know if it has. I haven't read a lot about it. But anyway, they called it the Internet of Beer because it uses like a cloud connectivity.
So, were there any remarkable, notable things? I guess in general, maybe in Internet of Things stuff or otherwise that you saw, Jeff?
Well, there was the prototype sort of stuff or proof of concept stuff, like Mercedes-Benz, their self-driving car.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool. Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. No, it's not something you're going to be able to put on the road today and ride around in, but it was a really great proof of concept, and I thought it did a great job of showing where car manufacturers are going with a lot of this automated technology. So that was really cool.
I like that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff is, I think, worth being shown off at
CES. On that front, what about the, did you get to see the Parrot in-dash system for CarPlay?
I saw it, but I couldn't get up to it. The booth was so packed that I had to kind of look over people's shoulders to see it. I talked to people that did get up to see it, and they're like, yeah, this is cool. But they couldn't get a really good feel of what it would do because it wasn't in a car.
Right. Yeah, it's an
sure
aftermarket.
Cool.
Yeah, it's another another player in the aftermarket. So with like Pioneer and is it Alpine? Pioneer and Alpine are doing aftermarket.
Yes.
CarPlay systems. And this one's from Parrot, the company that makes the AR drones and stuff.
Yeah, so that was cool. I liked what I was seeing with home automation because a lot of these companies that have been making stuff in the past finally realized people need this to be easy to set up and manage.
Yeah, because, I mean, CES, I think every year since the beginning has had home automation stuff.
Yeah, right. And now it's home automation with easy man. It's designed now so that the average person can use this stuff. And who is it? Belkin. They make Wemo. They were showing some new stuff that they have coming and explaining to me how all the pieces work together. Much easier than it used to be. There's another company I saw called Oort, like the Oort Cloud. And they're selling packages that even come with a little smart home management hub. And this stuff was really nice and easy to set up and manage. And there were companies that were doing collaborations with each other, Automatic, the people that make the little computer thing that plugs into the diagnosis port on your car.
Yeah.
They're doing a thing now where your Automatic will talk to your Nest. So your car just automatically lets your thermostat know where you are, when you're heading home, giving it updates on your ETA so that it can have the temperature set correctly when you get there. And if you're delayed by traffic, it knows not to turn the thermostat up too early. So just this whole thing with all this stuff starting to come together for easier use and better communication between components, I thought that was kind of cool.
I was excited about how many of the announcements included, yes, we're going to be working with HomeKit.
Yeah, yeah.
As well.
Yeah, there's a lot of HomeKit talk. There's also a lot of talk about Apple Watch. And not as, oh, yeah, we're doing that, or just wait till you see what we have. It was, here's what we're making. And when Apple Watch comes out, we'll have compatibility. So people were making like these health and fitness, different tracking devices that they're fully planning on turning into Apple Watch accessories.
Well, I saw the Bandstand, the little Apple Watch dock that utilizes the inductive charger to provide a nice little stand that would rotate for you so you could see your watch nicely and it would be on a neat little pedestal.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. But a lot of the stuff that I was seeing that was Apple Watch accessory related, it was stuff that did something else on its own, but then would link back to your Apple Watch. So people were looking at the Apple Watch as a platform as opposed to just another accessory thing that they needed to say, oh, yeah, we do that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you see the Schlage Sense? It's a smart lock that integrates with...
That was cool.
It integrates with Siri, so it does the HomeKit thing. And I think that they've had a similar product in the past where it's a deadbolt with a touch screen where you can assign codes and expire them and all that sort of thing. So it's nice if you have company that you need to let in or whatever. But in addition to that, now you can have Siri lock or unlock doors for you, right? Is that the...
Yes.
Basic
idea. It gets us a little closer to Star Trek.
Cool. And that's important. So you can say, hey, Siri, did I remember to lock my front door? And then she'll do the thing for you.
I've lost all interest. I'm buying this beer. I'm buying this Pico brew.
Yeah, that system. Thing looks pretty cool. I mean, I just see it looks like a box with a giant can of CO2 or something, but.
No, that's the keg. It's a 2.5 gallon keg. Those are my dad and brother did home brewing for a while, and it's what basically amounts to a soda keg.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the beer goes into there. So like, and I'm reading this thing. It's got four different timed containers for hops. So like four hop cages, 9-pound grain compartment. It like does everything.
This is really cool. I've always wanted to do home brewing, and I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I can set this up in my apartment.
The whole system's $1,800.
Oh, so that's just nothing right there. Let me take out a loan at the bank.
It depends on how much you drink.
Yeah, right.
If you were doing this manually and you were getting a lot of the components separately, you know, the stuff that you need, it's not going to cost nearly that much, but there's time and hassle too.
Yeah.
This is like Ron Propeal
totally.
Home brewing. Yeah, set it and forget it.
I was just going to say that.
Set it and forget it. Oh my God, yes.
Anyway, I don't know. Sorry.
It's pretty good. The Pico brew. It's
I always have notes. To bring it back to beer.
I feel
you. This is why I love you, Adam.
That's one big benefit of being back here. I get to get on all the Midwest brews. So.
Awesome.
Silver lining.
Yeah. But I thought as far as Mac Apple stuff coming out of CES, it seemed like the majority of things that I was seeing and hearing were the HomeKit stuff.
Yeah.
HomeKit, not so much HealthKit.
Right. Well,
I think HealthKit was like an afterthought.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even still, you know, I'd ask companies, excuse me, if they had HealthKit support, you'd be like, oh yeah, we're going to do that. And it was almost like they didn't even care. They're totally indifferent to HealthKit.
Well, I mean, to some extent, they've really done what they can do with the hardware that's available. As far as medical measurement devices, it's really just like pedometers and heart rate monitors still.
Well, there's EKG things and blood pressure cuffs and, I mean,
yeah, but nobody's going to run around with a thermometer in their butt all day, figuring out what their temperature is over the day.
Well,
don't judge.
We don't judge.
Did you get a sense, Jeff? I would imagine some companies are also though kind of waiting on what's going to happen with the Apple Watch, right?
I'm sure some companies are. But it sure felt like a lot of companies, they just really weren't that interested in making sure that they had serious HealthKit coverage. They seemed more interested in making sure that their devices were compatible with Apple Watch.
Right.
Yeah.
And it sounded like they wanted to do that as an app sort of thing, as opposed to a HealthKit integration thing.
But I mean, if it's compatible with Apple Watch, doesn't it almost by proxy become compatible with HealthKit or no?
No, you could do you can do an app, and then use Bluetooth, and you have your tracking whatever thing talk directly to Apple Watch and feed into your own app,
sure.
And then screw HealthKit.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing, and maybe that's why it seemed like almost an afterthought for them. Where, you know, consumers are going to. I know it myself as a consumer, and I have a feeling that other consumers are going to feel the same way. I'm going to demand that any health and fitness product that I use has HealthKit support. I'm already kind of doing that, right? I'm already turned off by ones that don't. It's like, oh, well, that's going to be a buying choice for a lot of people.
I agree. I think that's going to be a big thing for a lot of buyers. And I'm finding it fascinating that there are companies like Fitbit, where they clearly have no interest in supporting HealthKit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't see that as a problem. So we'll see what they think a year from now.
Well, what's funny is there's already workarounds, though, right? I mean, how are they going to stop that sort of stuff, too? So, because they have ways for apps to talk to their platform. And so I've seen some. Aren't there some apps that'll take the, you know, that'll take the Fitbit data and just act as a proxy for HealthKit, right?
Yes, but right now, the apps that I've seen, they can't feed all of your Fitbit data into HealthKit.
Yeah.
But it's a start. So, yeah, so we'll see what... See, I think that that today, Fitbit is in a position where supporting HealthKit doesn't matter for them because they're the platform and they're well established. And why mess with that? So we'll see if they're saying the same thing a year from now. And unless HealthKit really takes off in the next few months, I'd be surprised if at CES next year I'm talking to the Fitbit people and they're like, oh yeah, we have HealthKit. It's going to be out next week or, you know, whatever.
Right.
I think they'll still be saying we're evaluating.
You know, I had a Fitbit and I haven't unpacked it even, I think, because you mentioned the Misfit thing, and I found out that Misfit worked on the Pebble with an app. So I just have my Pebble with the Misfit app, and that all integrates with HealthKit with the Misfit app on my phone. So,
yeah, there you go. And the Misfit Shine is a really neat little thing. And if you can use their app with the Pebble and call it good, there you go. Now you have HealthKit integration too.
So I think they'll find, totally with you, I think they'll find a year from now they have lost customers because people with iPhones are going to want to have it integrated with HealthKit.
I think you're right. We'll see if that loss is significant enough to convince Fitbit to change their stance.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it'll be interesting.
Did you end up seeing the fake Apple Watch?
No, I actually didn't even bother to go to that part of the expo.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything...
That is a crazy part of the expo, by the way, if you've ever been. It's like insane over there.
Yeah, I have been there in previous years, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I really, really don't have any need to take my precious limited time at CES to go and look at this pile of crap product stuff that's going to be there, because it's pretty much all crap.
Okay, yeah, so this is like the weird Misfit.
Yeah, it's the Island of Misfit Toys at CES. Okay. And it's all this Chinese knockoff stuff. Yeah. It's like garbage products. So
I want to ask if it's still the same because it's been years since I've been, but I seem to remember it being a lot of these sort of teeny tiny booths, really close to each other, and every one of them's like representing some Chinese manufacturing sort of facility, and then they kind of had these sample products, or, you know, sort of almost like, hey, look what you could build, or we could build for you, these knockoff watches.
Oh yeah,
it's exactly what you remember.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. And so they're trying to get contracts for people to like buy these in bulk and bring them over to the US and sell them on all these weird shops that you find, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this thing was $27.
Well, and that's probably the wholesale price. And so what you're supposed to do is buy it, import it, and turn around and sell it for $60.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And they'll do a deal with anybody. So it's like anybody can buy these things. And
this crappy Apple Watch ripoff thing. So it's there, or it was there. And, I guess not worth much more time than that. However, there is some news on the Apple Watch front. And do we care to talk about the TapSense thing? The ads, the contextual ads that they're planning on building?
Yeah.
So they're planning on, I guess, creating some kind of platform. Yeah. A programmatic
ad. They've
created
a platform.
Platform that... basically shows you ads. They said, as an example, you can put it on a watch face and have it be contextual based on GPS and that sort of thing. I think one example that they mentioned was if you're running late and you're browsing a public transit site, maybe on your watch it'll show an ad for a car service kind of thing. And then, of course, they updated later on saying that their ad platform may not even comply with Apple's rules, which, of course, have not been set in stone.
They haven't even been set at all, I don't think.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And they also say that the WatchKit SDK does not include support for watch faces as proposed by what they say as far as putting ads on the watch faces. So,
you know, ads on like that on the Apple Watch concern me because the battery life is already going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So bringing my screen to life to show me advertisements, that's not something I'm going to be happy with.
I don't think Apple will be happy with it either.
I'm sure they won't.
Weren't they kind of swinging it, though, as almost like a coupon platform? So how are we defining an ad, right? Because I would imagine someone who's really into Groupon or some sort of coupon system. What's the one? RetailMeNot, right? So say you've got RetailMeNot and you walk into a store that has a coupon and it pushes that to your phone and says, hey, you can get 20% off in this store right now. And here's the barcode, right? That you'll just scan your watch. Here's the barcode to scan at checkout. Is that an ad or is that not an ad?
That's a good question.
Right? Because that sort of thing, I would imagine there's lots of people who would opt in for and be happy to get an advertisement when they're near some shop or store that is offering them a discount at that moment. So I don't know. I mean, that was one of the examples they kind of showed. I remember seeing the screenshot on there and it was like some store and then it was a discount, right? It was a QR code or a code that could be scanned at register to get a discount.
Yeah, I think it was Starbucks or something. So
I think we're getting in some areas where there's that line, like what is advertising? I think it's okay if you want to do that sort of advertising if it's an opt-in system, if it's the sort of thing where it's like you're in control. And I think Apple will probably allow that sort of quote-unquote advertising. But if it's just, oh, we're going to, you know, every so often push you random ads to your phone, or even if it's not even tied to an offer, you know, it's just like, oh, you're near McDonald's. Here's a McDonald's ad.
Yeah.
People that'd aren't be gonna fly for that.
Yeah, if you just purchased an ad box to put on your wrist, that would be
That would be uncool. Can you imagine sitting in a movie theater watching a movie, all of a sudden an ad comes on and your watch lights up? That would piss me off and it'd piss off everyone around me too. Yeah, I don't like this idea at all. I'm not even sure if I'm okay with it as an opt-in model.
Unhappier news, on a happier note, Apple, according to sources, I believe it's 9 to 5 Mac, Apple Watch will be available in March, right? And, they're going to be sending one or two employees from every Apple store, either to Cupertino or Austin, I believe, to be trained on the Apple Watch, and then they'll come back and brief the other employees at the store on the watch in time for an announcement or a release in March, right?
I'm not convinced that's how early the Apple Watch will come out. I think it would be great if it did, but I'm skeptical.
Sure. They have said that they have not really done much with the hardware of the Apple Watch, although there have been refinements in the inductive charging mechanism, but they've really been focusing on software, which is honestly what we all have been expecting, because the hardware part is much simpler than getting the software together and working properly.
Sure.
So, I don't think
that one day battery life.
Yeah, that's...
That's bad.
Well, I think they can take care of a lot of that in software and battery technology.
Yeah, but can they do it in time to ship? When? Yeah.
Yeah, it may. I'm thinking we're probably going to see a 1 day battery life on the first gen, and we're just going to have to deal with it. And at this point, I want one. I think I want one. I have to see it, but I think I want one, and it's probably not a good idea for me to get one, like practically.
Yeah.
But I want to play with it.
I'll be getting one, and we'll... Okay, so here's the thing. Regardless of whether or not I really want one, I need to get one, because there's a lot of stuff that I'll need to test.
Sure.
And I need to write a review, so I'll get an Apple Watch. But I'm not convinced yet it's the device that will win my wrist. Right now, the way I see it, because I don't wear anything on my wrist, it's a fight between all these different companies to win my wrist. And who can come up with the thing that offers me enough value that I'm willing to strap something around my wrist?
I'm betting it'll be Apple.
Maybe. I'm keeping an open mind. Apple, I think, has as good a shot as any company at winning my wrist, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting for me, too, because I have the Pebble now that I've been wearing consistently, and it's going to have to dethrone that.
Oh, you're going to switch right away.
Oh, I will switch right away, but the question is, long-term...
Will it stick?
Yeah, and battery life could be a big part of that.
I would say
it's already kind of a hassle with the Pebble, and I have to charge that every 4 to 5 days, maybe 3 to 4 days, depending.
Well, maybe it's more of a hassle with the Pebble because it's an irregular charging schedule, whereas, you know, with your phone, for example, you pretty well just put the phone on the charger every night. However, with an iPad, you can sometimes pick that thing up and it's at 18% or, 5%. And it's just because you're not in the habit of regularly charging it.
Yeah.
It's too low. So we'll have to see how that works.
It's interesting you say that because my 6 Plus doesn't go on the charger every night.
Oh.
And that's become a little bit of a problem because sometimes I'll go 2 days and have forgotten to charge it. And then I wake up and it's like at 10%. Like, whoops.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoops.
But that's okay, here's exactly the point you're making. Sorry.
And here's another problem with Apple Watch. It won't be an exclusive device for me if I go that way, because it can't track sleep.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that will definitely be the one big complaint about the battery life is you can't... It is impractical to wear it at night.
Yes. And actually kind of pointless to wear it at night.
Yeah, yeah. And the last thing on our list, Samsung seems to have won the contract to produce the S1 system in a package for the Apple Watch, which is the entire brains of the Apple Watch in one little slab of silicon. And Samsung will be producing that for Apple, which, hey, you got to do what you got to do if you're Apple. And you're dealing with Samsung.
Yeah.
So, I suppose that's all there is to say about that. I still really think the S1's super cool, though.
So, we don't even know what it is, right?
Well, it's all the stuff in one deal.
In one giant plastic casing.
Yeah. It's all...
Tiny, I guess I should say. Tiny plastic casing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, talk about perfect for Apple. Like, that thing's hermetically sealed, right?
Yeah. Well, they sure like that. They like the idea of that. But honestly, what are you going to do? You're going to be a watchmaker and pop that thing open and like
no, not
swap
at all.
Out the RAMs?
It's just interesting. They finally got to the point where it's like, yeah, we build the thing and then we completely encase it in plastic, and that's
and it's
it.
Impossible to get into.
I think they're hoping their products can be like that someday.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Okay, so I think we got to wrap this thing up. Let's do our iDevice picks. So, Jeff, what do you have for us?
All right, I have an app that I started using at CES this year, and it's called White Noise, two words, and it's like a $3 app, and it comes with a bunch of different white noise type sounds. Like ocean waves and you know, like kind of static air conditioner sort of sounds and nature sounds. And then you can mix the sounds together to make your own custom white noise sound. And you can also get additional sounds from in-app. You can go to their website, I guess, and download these other sounds. And if you've created your own sound mix, you can share them with other people. And that's how I got turned on to this, because it's something that Dave Hamilton from Mac Geek Gab uses.
Okay.
And so we were talking after the first night at CES where I got like 2 hours sleep because it was just so crazy loud.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, oh, yeah, here's the app I use. And so I go and get it. And he says, here, I'm sending you my sound mix.
Neat.
And so he did. And then I used that the rest of the trip. And it was really cool. So it's white noise from TM Soft.
Okay.
So there's multiple white noises out there.
Looks like the first result, though, if you search for it.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, it's like $2.99?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go. And you don't have to buy anything else to use it, but they do have, I think, a couple in-app purchases that you can do. But you can spend your $2, buy it, and you're good to go. And if your friends have made sound mixes, they can send those to you.
Cool. Adam, what is your pick this week?
Well, I was trying to find something. You know what? Here's what I'm going to pick.
You're going to pick Peekabrew.
No, I'm going to pick Echoes.
Peekabrew.
So Echoes is an app both for your iPhone and for your Mac, your iPhone or your iOS devices. And it allows you to turn your Mac and your iDevices into a intercom system that runs over your local area network.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So it's a very simple app. You just fire up the app. It will recognize other devices and machines that are running the app or have the app installed on your network. And you can name them. And then you do announcements. You can do an announce, and you can announce to multiple devices or specifically to one device. And when you announce, basically just brings up a recorder. It immediately starts recording. When you hit done, it sends that audio recording to that location and sends a notification and plays the audio. So it's like a little home intercom system. So it's great for sending messages back and little audio messages back and forth over, inside your house, like a little intercom without having to install an intercom system.
And how is it spelled?
That's cool.
Like Echo. Like E.
Yeah.
C-H-O-E-S. O-E-S. Huh. Echoes.
I can't find it. Oh, I'm looking. This is your iPad apps, iPhone apps. Huh. Okay. You'll have to send me the link for it.
Okay.
So that'll be in the show notes. And my pick this week is one that I think Jeff turned me onto this one. It's Gate Guru.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those apps that whenever I travel, I have my little travel folder, but I pull out one or two apps before I get ready to go and throw them over onto one of the home screens so I can get to it pretty easily. And Gate Guru is one of those that I always pull out there because it's just so handy when you're, especially if you're doing like a connecting flight, which I did. And so it has things like amenities. So you can figure out what terminals have, what restaurants or Wi-Fi or tips from other travelers. And I would say most importantly, you get airport maps so you can figure out where to go, where your gate's going to be, how far away it is, and all that stuff. And it's really helpful and it's free. So if you ever travel, if you're ever going to hop on a plane and go somewhere, you should grab Gate Guru because, and it's one word, Gate Guru, it's just going to help you out. It's going to be your little buddy getting you through the airport.
So, that's cool.
Yeah. And with that, you can See all the phone picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Tell a friend. And, of course, feedback at theiosshow.com is how you can get a hold of us. Also, people do leave comments. There's a little discussion for every episode via Discuss. So you can go there and comment on the show there, and I usually respond to those. And, of course, send a tweet to Smile Software if you like them and like that they sponsor the show. It's super helpful for them and us. And advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast.
And it's always awesome to be here.
It's awesome to have you. Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is the member version of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Just threw up a new episode there on talking about the whole Marco Armont post on his sort of frustration with Apple and their latest software updates.
Oh. Interesting. I haven't checked that out. I should read that.
It created quite a controversy, and Marco ended up regretting his post. So he actually did a follow-up post where he said he wished he hadn't posted it because it got picked up by mainstream media basically took it, ran with it, twisted his words, and made it prop up their Apple is doomed philosophy.
Oh, boy. Sounds good. All right. I'll check that out.
So we talk all about that, in the latest episode, just my thoughts on that.
Do you talk about Crossy Road and how it's addicting?
No, but I did make that a pick on my last regular episode of the MacCast. Yeah, I'm getting everybody turned on to Crossy Road.
Yeah,
dude, you rocked it though. I can't. I'm not going to be able to catch you at. I think you're over 200.
I'm like 247. Wow. I think.
Yeah, you're 100 ahead of me.
Yeah,
I can't. I can't seem to get going.
It's tough for me to get really far up there again.
The only problem with it is a lot of it is there is a luck element to it because the sort of layouts are randomized.
Yeah, there is.
So sometimes you can get
element.
Like one where like there's a huge chunk of green grass with and you get like 20, 30 rows for free basically.
Yeah. Those do help. So check it out. Go to go grab Crossy Road and compete with us. We're doing the Game Center thing. So I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And check out Appler, GETAPPLR.com. And you can find me and Jeff and Adam on there. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus?
Stylus.
You have to get them and put them away and you lose them.
Yuck, yuck.
A stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus.